89.9 Light FM with Clayton taking you through for your morning. And my guest on One-on-One today is Louise Howland, one of the co-creators of The Art of Conversation. She joins me in the studio. G'day, Louise.
Hiya, Clayton.
It's good to have you in. Now, there's actually two of you who created this, and your partner for the creation of this game was Keith Lamb, who I've heard of Hush. But I can't picture the music or whatever else, the band back in the 70s, is that right?
That's exactly right. They're a big glam rock band in the 70s who toured relentlessly and had a number of number one hits.
Yeah, that's what I see, which is why, like, this is why I'm getting annoyed with myself. I'm like, I know of Hush, I've heard, but I can't get any songs into my head of them.
So well, you need to be glad all over and have a girl called Boney Maroney and you'll be there, Clayton.
Now I've got it. You've got me hearing it once again. Good on you, that's great. Hey, look, enough of Keith. We're here to talk about you today, Louise. And this game, which is really fascinating. We're coming up to Christmas, and I think, to be honest, there's so many times where, you know, people have beautiful ideas of Christmas, and you get through the Christmas lunch and everything, and maybe the family relations just aren't going as well as were hoped, and the conversation's not really flowing. That it's those sorts of moments that you've actually created this game for, in a sense. Is that a fair sort of summation?
That's exactly right. It works well in a lot of situations, but that Christmas slump and the Christmas when you're having a meal and spending time with people you may not normally spend a great deal of time with, Taok works beautifully.
Now, you said Taok, that's the art of conversation.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's right. Let's talk about how you came up with this concept, because I believe there's, you know, thousands and thousands of copies of these games out there and about now. But at the base of all this is really a heart for people to interact with each other more and more. So how did you actually come up with the idea?
Well, that's right. Keith came up with the idea and he'd been in the rock and roll business for most of his life, really. And when that began to decline, he found it quite difficult to fit into mainstream society and talk to regular people. So he waltzed into my office one day and he said, it's called Taok, The Art of Conversation. It's a game to help us communicate better. Now you do the rest. So, and, you know, to be fair on him, we both worked very hard with the original edition and we had a great core group of people, about 36 people, that we tested all the questions and the guidelines, and we looked at conversations from every angle.
Yeah.
In the end, we simplified it and it worked well. That was Taok, The Art of Conversation, the All Ages edition.
Yeah. And how long ago was that?
That was in 96.
Yep.
That we came up with the idea. It wasn't actually launched onto the market till 2006.
Yes.
And it became a strong seller within the Angus and Robertson book chain in 7 days. So we were really excited. But we thought, okay, that's it. We translated it into French and German. We sent it to the USA and
translated it into American.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Left all the U's out of the questions and talked about chores and vacations.
That's right.
And airplanes. And we thought that was that, and we just got back to our lives.
Yeah.
And then a couple of things came to our attention that made us believe there was room for a children's edition.
Sure.
And those things were, there was a survey done in the USA of looking at high achievers, so-called, and the common denominator, the only one they could find, was the family dinner.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
So as a child, they were part of a family.
They had regular family dinners.
Wow.
And we thought, you know, that is a thing of the past in so many households, because we're all so busy and kids are going one way and we're going another and both parents are working and we're juggling all the time. And we felt it was a really important factor. And the other thing that made us decide there was room for children's was children today start school with less vocabulary and a poorer grasp of grammar than they did in, say, my generation.
Yeah.
And this is put down directly to less conversation with adults.
Yeah.
And again, that's our busy lifestyles.
It's incredible, isn't it, that just those real simple things can impact kids for their lives. Louise Howland is my guest on One-on-One today, one of the co-creators of Taok, The Art of Conversation. It's a game which is, you know, just a few cards here and there, and it's all about just getting people having a chat together. We're going to dip into one of those games, especially the kids one that you mentioned there, Louise, in just a couple of minutes' time. Have a look at a few of those questions, how you actually come up with these questions. You know, you say research. How do you actually research these things? What are you researching when you're looking to, you know, get these questions formulated? That's on the way next here on Melbourne's Positive Alternative, Light FM.
This is your morning with Clayton Viella on 89.9 Light FM.
89.9 Light FM with Clayton taking you through for your morning. And my guest on One-on-One today is Louise Howland, one of the creators of The Art of Conversation, a game that's now had more than 100,000 editions, not different editions, but 100,000 copies all over the country. A lot of households have this game in their lounge rooms. Let's talk a bit more about how you come up with these questions, Louise. Let's talk specifically about the kids edition that you've got, which is really sort of family-based, isn't it?
It is.
The idea of that. Yeah, sure. A couple of examples, everybody, if you've never seen The Art of Conversation before. Questions that you ask kids, you ask each other, and everybody shares a bit about it. Can you make a snack or a meal? Show us a funny face you can pull. If you were the leader of your country, what would you make happen? A bit of a mix of some really personal stuff as well as think about sort of bigger and greater things. How do you come up with the questions? What are you aiming for, especially as you're thinking of trying to draw out of kids' ideas and thoughts?
That's right. What we're aiming for is for, well, lots of different things. To teach children social skills. TAOC's been used for special needs at both ends of the spectrum. So teaching social skills, teaching communication. But within our families, sometimes we tend to assume that children know things that they don't know. Mm. And also we assume they don't know things that they do know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
It's about them getting a chance to air their feelings, their views, let us know what they know, how they're thinking, how they're feeling, but in a non-judgmental, non-threatening way.
Yeah.
So when adults answer these questions as well, and it's very open, and everyone's on a bit of an equal footing, really, then children will open up a lot more.
Yeah.
Because when we question our children, and my favourite is you pick your child up from school, what did you do at school today? The answer has got to be nothing.
Yeah.
And that's not what we want. But when we get home later and we relax and we play some TAOC, we hear their real ideas and what happened.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what children know. So when we're researching the game, we brainstorm lots and lots of questions on lots of subjects, but we have a core group that we trial them with. So sometimes we might think of a great question, but nobody answers or it doesn't take the doesn't take the conversation anywhere.
Sure. Can I put you on the spot? Can you think of one like that?
Well, in the All Ages one that Keith and I thought was quite funny but just didn't work at all was what's the most illegal thing you've ever done?
Sure.
Well, you know, guess what? No one really wanted to answer that.
Sure.
You have to know somebody very well. So that didn't work. And some with children we thought maybe too difficult, like when does a person become old?
Mm.
And the questions, the responses we got to that were amazing because some children said the obvious, you know, when you get wrinkles, when you're 30, you know. And one beautiful little girl said, I think someone becomes old when they stop making plans and just keep living the same life.
Oh, wow.
And it's quite extraordinary what they think about what they know. Having said all this family talk, we've been very careful to not make any assumptions, to not assume that children live in a stable home, because sadly it's not always the case, not even to assume that they necessarily live with a mother and a father. So the only time I think mother or father's mentioned is a question that says, would you like to be a mother or a father one day? Because I'm the mother of an adopted daughter myself, so I'm sensitive to the fact that, you know,
yeah.
You don't want children embarrassed or threatened, and that's not the aim of this, you know.
Yeah, yeah. How do you come up with the questions? It seems to me that, you know, there's a pile of questions. You know, we're talking sort of 200 plus questions in each set, and, you know, 200 cards, I think, something like that. Anyway, there's a lot of questions that you're going through, and a lot of those that you said you just throw out as well.
Yeah.
Seems like you almost need to lock yourself in a padded room for a while.
That's about right.
Is that actually how it happens?
That is pretty much how it happens. Keith and I work together, and we work separately. I'm a very wide reader and Keith is a very wide communicator and we just brainstorm. We don't sit down to edit until we've got at least 500 that we think are reasonable and then we start trialling at the 500 point.
Sure. And then how many on average are you cutting it down to?
300.
300.
In the children's there's less, there's 200 because we only put 200 on each, we only put two on each card
yes.
because it's less confusing. We wanted the type. bigger. Yes. And there's the choice, because whoever is the leader of the round makes the choice of the question.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. We're going to hear about some of the positives that have come out of this, you know, people conversing more, and some of the differences that have actually occurred in family relationships, in perhaps, you know, couple relationships, in adult-child relationships as well, as we get back and hear a few of those stories from Louise Howland, my guest on One-on-One today here on Light FM.
This is Your Morning with Clayton V. Allen on 89.9 Light FM. 89.9
Light FM with Clayton taking you through for Your Morning. And Louise Howland is my guest on One-on-One today. She's one of the creators of The Art of Conversation, or Tayok?
Tayok,
that's
short,
right.
Yes.
And a whole lot of different, you know, age group ones. And we've been specifically talking a little bit about the kids version one today. And I think from our point of view, certainly as a family radio station, one of the biggest things we want to do is to pour into family relationships to make sure, Louise, that, you know, there are, you know, parents are chatting with kids are chatting with each other, and you know, we're really pouring in there, not letting the television teach the kid everything or whatever it
Absolutely.
Might be. Yeah. Let's talk about some of the impact that you've had through this. Sure, it's a game, and I'm sure that, you know, there's a small, you know, monetary component that does come back to you because of that and all that sort of thing, but I know that's not the heart and the aim of why you're doing this.
No.
So some of the stories that have happened for you that you've heard from people who have, you know, been impacted by this game and well, just generally conversing a bit more.
You're right. The monetary impact isn't the important thing in this business. We have another business that keeps us going. The feedback we get from people about Tayok has just been incredibly heartwarming. A number who have said that it saved their marriage. One woman said to me that she still loved her husband, but they just did not speak about anything except for schedules, what was happening with the children, who was going where. And she said it was like a quick planning meeting, 5 minutes a day, and they didn't have any real conversations, didn't know each other. So she didn't feel that her husband would be necessarily interested in counselling or even sitting down
and
talking.
Talk. Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's an instant turn off, isn't it? So she organised them to go out for dinner on a fairly regular basis, and she read Tayok herself before she went and thought of some of the questions that might suit. And she said she went out with him and really pretended that she did not know him, that it was a date and she didn't know him. And she used some of these questions to ask about him. And she said it was just incredible. Over 6 months, they went out, you know, say monthly, I can't remember exactly how often. And she Tayok'd him, and he didn't really know it, but just knew that they began to reconnect. Mm. And she really listened. And that's the other thing. In our guidebook, we talk about listening. And listening, as you'd know in your line of work, Clayton, it's more than simply being quiet while the other person's talking.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually imagining how they felt and understanding.
Yeah, for sure.
And another very heartwarming story, if you've got time for one
please,
more.
Yeah, please,
is from a dad who was in that horrible situation of having his children infrequently, like it may have been every second weekend or for half the school holidays or whatever, or Wednesday nights, and he found it really difficult with his children to get that instant rapport that he wanted because...
Well, it's so infrequent, yeah.
So infrequent, he didn't hear all the day-to-day things.
Mm.
And he wrote to us and told us what an incredible help Tayok was, because they would take a couple of questions, they'd start talking, and they were instantly back to close and
Good
bonded
enough.
Again. So that made us just so, so happy.
Yeah.
Also, parents of autistic children who've said, you know, I've used this guidebook to teach my children social skills. And even though those skills might be a little robotic at first, it's better than none at all.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and the same with gifted children, because they might give you 2 hours on splitting the atom and they're very clever, but unless they learn to temper it and communicate in an acceptable way, then all those brain cells they've got are never put to great use. You
know? As well.
So we've had that sort of feedback.
They're fantastic stories, and you know, what I absolutely love hearing about these sorts of ideas, and you know, a game like this to have it crafted as a game rather than, oh, let's sit down and have a conversation, means that you can get to those sorts of points too. This is perhaps something I probably should have asked at the start, but I'll ask it now as well. For you, as you grew up, was there a lot of conversation, or was it something that was very natural for you, or was it perhaps something that this is, you realise it would have been really valuable for you.
What a clever question, Clayton, and it's one that kind of makes me cringe inside. Because that's right, there was a lot of conversation when I was growing up, but my parents, I love them madly, were both a teacher and a university professor, and this is what I would have liked to have happened. Mm. It didn't happen that way. We were very much taught and told what to think. And, you know, both my sister and I had a lot of ideas that we kind of felt we weren't allowed to say because we had to go with what was expected. Sure. And so consequently, I became entirely rebellious, was the, you know, naughtiest, most ghastly teenager on earth. And a lot of things in my life I felt weren't fulfilled.
Mm.
And, you know, it's very easy to sit back and blame your childhood. But I would like to have had a more open forum. And I think what you see in this too is when people answer, you see the children look at their parents and they go, oh, guess what? Dad was actually once a person, you yeah. know. And I never really believed that. I thought you're born a child or you're born an adult.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, no, it's more a reaction to that. But don't you think most great things are created from a need that you have yourself?
Completely. And that's sort of where I asked the question, that all of a sudden as I've been talking, I'm like, I think this is maybe where it had come from.
But you're very clever.
I wasn't completely sure. And you're absolutely right. That's where we take negative parts of our lives.
Yes.
To, you know, I'm not yes. meaning to brand that a negative part.
No,
but
it was.
But, you know, a negative part of our lives, they make something really positive out of it, not just for us, but for other people. And, I
yes.
mean, you know, I've had so many people, had the privilege of chatting to people who are sitting in the chair that you're sitting in at the moment,
yeah.
who've done various elements of their lives, taking negatives into positive. And I suppose that's another
yes.
that's another thing we, you know, it's a bit of a challenge today too, that if you have gone through a negative aspect of your life,
yes.
Absolutely, you've got to deal with that, you've got to work through that. But then there might be some real positives that you can take out of it and help other people with as well.
That's exactly yeah. right, Clayton. And I mean, thinking about how you want to bring up your own children and how you want your own family to be, I thought, well, I want my children to be able to tell me anything they want
yeah.
because I'd rather they told me than some stranger or some other kid at school, you know, the old behind the shelter sheds
yeah.
chat, important as it is.
Yes.
But, you know, we get wisdom both ways. We learn things from our children as well.
That's right, yeah. I know, look, you know, we've got a 5.5-month-old and we're very, 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 very keen to make sure that they know that they can talk to us about anything. We can have
yes.
a chat about everything, and not to be too quick as they grow up to jump on them and say, hey,
yes.
hold on, you can't do that. Just let them talk.
Let them finish.
Let them live. Yeah, that's right.
That's exactly right.
It's fantastic stuff, Louise. Thanks so much for coming in and making the trip in. I know you've driven a fair way to be here with us today too. That's just fantastic. Good luck with the rest of the games, and I'm sure coming up with more and more questions. Mind you, just as we do, you know, close up, it must be a fair bit of pressure if you ever have a dinner party that you're the one that's supposed to be able to be the absolute perfect, you know, conversationalist and those sorts of things. Did you feel that pressure when you're in sort of group situations?
I did for a long time, Clayton, but you know what I've worked out, and it's a great tip for shy people like myself, that people's favourite topic is really themselves. So
yes,
all
true.
You need to do is actually ask them something and sit back and genuinely use your listening skills and feed off that. And I find it's great. I don't need to talk about myself at all. I don't need to be smart or witty or cute. I just look at them, I listen, and people love that.
Yeah. You're spot on right. I think that is fair. A very fair comment indeed. Louise, thanks again for your time. I really appreciate it, and good luck with The Art of Conversation.
Great to be here, Clayton. Thank you.
Louise Howland, one of the co-creators of The Art of Conversation games, which are, as we said, all about just making sure that people are conversing as well as they can together. Head to the website, lightfm.com.au, and listen to the podcast once again for free. That's lightfm.com.au from 1 o'clock this afternoon. Click through to shows in your morning. You'll find all the details there. This is Light FM, Melbourne's positive alternative.